personality development, a Vedic perspective. I would introduce him in a few moments from now. First of all, we would like to have a small presentation here on the Prerana Festival, which has been created by some of our devotees, and His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj wanted to see that. So after that, I will give a brief introduction of Sachinandan Swami Maharaj. And also we have another special guest, His Grace Sri Prahlad Prabhu, and I will introduce both of them and then our program will start. Hare Krishna. He is the author of three wonderful books, The Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Names, The Way of Great Departure, and the Gayatri book. He joined the Hare Krishna movement in 1970 in Hamburg, and ever since he has been an active preacher traveling all over the world. He is a member of the Ecological Society, honorary member of the German Council. He is a member of the Vaishnava Training Education Group, which is based in London. He is the member of the prestigious Veda Academy classes, and the German president also attended the programs there. He is the director for Center of Vedic Studies at Heidelberg. He has founded several farm communities and rural communities. He is residing currently in a project in central Germany called Golok Dham, which is a seminar project, and he has been preaching the message of Krishna consciousness strongly and fearlessly practically all over the world, and he has been a regular visitor to Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir. We are extremely fortunate to have such an esteemed guest amongst all of us. I would request all of you to express our heartfelt gratitude to His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj for taking out His valuable time, coming here amongst all of us and making this presentation. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj ki!
Hare Krishna. I'm similarly very happy to be here this evening and see so many enthusiastic and maybe also inquisitive faces. Now, this person is from so far away and he has so many activities. What will he speak? I think it, and I hope it will be a very good experience for all of you, with the many practical advices to improve your own life. Before I start, I will sing a song, Jai Radha Madhava. It is very brief, and then we will dive deeply into our subject matter, and we all will go home totally enlivened and change our life 100% to the better. Hare Krishna. personality development, a Vedic perspective. I can well imagine that many of you here who have come have already heard something about the development of our personality. There are many, many personality coaches and trainers which sometimes sell their knowledge how to improve your life to successful executives of firms. It does help people who attend these courses from a material perspective. Today I would like to offer on the subject matter of personality development a spiritual perspective which will help us to grow spiritually, and as I wish to show that by growing spiritually we can also grow in our physical and emotional and social aspects. These are material aspects. I want to start my little speech with a story which was so nicely shown by our computer expert who's somewhere behind this big seat.
Yes,
he's there, Krishna Chaitanya. Please, Krishna Chaitanya, show your smiling face to the people. And here he is. This is our artist on the computer. Thank you very much. He takes notes there. Once there was a female eagle who was flying freely over the mountains. It so happened that a saint who was just finishing his meal, and then without washing his hands, he took a scripture and started to read. She thought, oh, bad times come over India. The saints don't wash their hands after reading and touch the books of learning. This is a bad omen. India will soon go down the drain. And she felt so worried with the thought that the future of India was now in danger, that as she was flying, she lost her egg. The big eagle egg fell, and fortunately for our story, it landed amongst the chickens on a heap of straw. So there was one chicken who, due to biological reasons, could not conceive and therefore not have any children. And when she saw the super-dimensional egg lying on the straw, she felt her motherly instincts and decided to take care of the motherless egg. She sat on it, gave the egg all her love and warmth, and was breathing really hard. But it took so long, and she thought, what will be with my child? It takes so abnormally long until he comes. And just when she almost lost her patience, she one morning heard click, 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 and then a chicken came out of the egg, or at least she thought so. But what was the chicken? The chicken was abnormally ugly. She went to the wise chicken and said, look at my baby. It's an adopted baby. It looks so ugly. The wise chicken looked at the baby chicken and couldn't find any sympathy in his heart. He said, let us wait a few days and then we decide if we kill it or if we keep it. So the little eagle chicken, or chicken eagle, call it as you want, was growing. After some time the wise chicken understood, this is not a chicken. But he didn't tell anything. He said, it's a very little different chicken, but let us be tolerant. New times are coming. And allowed the chicken to grow. And it grew and grew until it finally was a beautiful young eagle. Everything looked beautiful, and the eagle was also useful to the chicken, because no other eagles or wild enemies dared to come close to the chickens, fearing the eagle. So the wise chicken was very happy, everyone was glad, and gave him a chicken name, Chick Chuck. Chick Chuck was really beautiful. He had a good character, but there was one serious problem with him. He had an identity problem. This is a word which will come up soon in philosophical contents. He thought he is a chicken. He began to speak like a chicken, kikeriki, and such valuable words were flowing freely from his mouth. It picked its food from amongst the chicken stool, just like all the other chickens. And yes, it continued with this identity problem. It one day came, Chick Chuck came one day to the wise chicken and said, I have such a feeling in my chest. Sometimes I look in the sky and I want to fly high. What is with me? And the wise chicken, fearing that Chick Chuck would leave them one day, said, just ignore these abnormal tendencies. Reason cleverly, when you are high in the sky, you will fall and you will break your neck. Don't think of flying. You are a chicken, Chick Chuck. I don't know, said Chick Chuck, and was mental and emotional. He couldn't find a woman amongst the other chicken because somehow it didn't resonate and make click. It only made Chick problematic. So one day the same saint who had caused the problem, who hadn't washed his hands, came by and he saw this young eagle who lived like a chicken. He felt compassion to the eagle, went up on a tree with him and said, fly, and threw him, thinking that somehow by nature he would open his wings. But Chick Chuck just fell on the ground. A wise man thought, I want to teach him how to fly, and went up a mountain and threw him from a mountain. But again Chick Chuck didn't know how to open his wings and fell down. The wise man said, I will give it one last shot. So he took the head of our Chick Chuck and with great force turned the head towards the sun. And as Chick Chuck looked into the sun, the rays of the sun began to open an old memory. You could say a genetically enclosed memory. And Chick Chuck began to remember the sky and the closeness to the sun and his comrades, the free eagles. He made one sound, the sound of the wild eagle. And then opened his wings, ran and ran and ran, and finally was in the sky and happily turned there. Chick Chuck returned one more day. He came to the, my dear chickens, I have seen my nature is different from yours. You have protected me and you have helped me to grow up. But I am not one of you. I am a freedom lover. You can call me when you need me, but I will go. I will go and follow my nature. And off he flew. This is my little story about personality development. According to the Vedic perspective, all of us are eternal paths of God, full of knowledge, sat, chit, and ananda. Eternity, chit means full of knowledge, and ananda. We have only one problem, an ID problem, a problem of identification, a problem which has to do with the, what we call false identification, or those of you who like spiritual terminology, a problem which has to do with ahankara or the false ego. This false ego is covering our true identity, so that we think ourselves to be part of this, of the chicken colony, that is part of material life, where everyone is limited, where everyone is conditioned by so many ways. If we can just awaken our true identity and rise from our identity problem, which is brought about by false ego, then there is no end to our potential. How to do this? You have, and here comes the first practical tip, to develop your spiritual circle. People in this world have a certain influence around them. For instance, a doctor. I am sometimes a patient to a doctor who sees 400 patients a day. And when you enter his room, he looks so healthy and happy that you think, oh, I will soon also be healthy. I asked him for his secret and he said, Sachinandan Swami, this is my only secret. People think they are sick and they have a sick mentality, but my duty is to give them hope, and I will just sit there, smile at them and tell them, soon you will be cured, we have these nice medicines and treatments. And he's world famous and helps many, many people. He has a certain atmosphere, and when you enter his atmosphere, you feel already healthy. He has a health circle around him. Some of you, do you know the Rolling Stones? It's an entertainment group which looks now like warmed up death. They are so old. But if you will meet the singer, you immediately feel another circle around him. You feel sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And you want to run away if you do not have such inclinations. People have their atmospheres around him, themselves. Places also have their atmospheres. I think you all have experienced when you entered this beautiful temple room. Wow, this is a real good atmosphere to sit here. It's a special. Some of you might even feel a little awkward. Where to sit down? Where to put my feet? Where to look? And so on. not only people carry their atmospheres, places carry their atmosphere. When the first archaeologists entered the pyramids of the pharaoh and went into this treasure chamber, they felt like kneeling down on the ground because they felt they had entered an ancient Egyptian tradition which demanded their respect. Places have their atmospheres. You can also develop your atmosphere around you if you know how to strengthen the spiritual circle or the circle which emanates from you. The circle of or your atmosphere is something like your health. When you are healthy, you can tolerate many, many dangers to your health, like you can be in a Mumbai bus where everyone coughs and come out unharmed. But when your health is very weak, when you are in a bus, you will become infected and cough and next morning need to see the doctor. So just like health can sometimes be weak and sometimes be strong, your spiritual circle, the atmosphere which you spread around yourself, can also be strong. What strengthens your spiritual circle? It's two qualities. If you can love, and if you can be detached. A person who is full of love, he emanates a very good atmosphere. A person who is detached, he goes fearlessly through the world without any bad character developments. But the opposite, fear and attachment shrunk your atmosphere, your spiritual atmosphere, and make it nil and make it to nothing. When you have fear, you always think about what you are afraid of. I know, for instance, a professor who's highly afraid of flying in an airplane. And when he has to give a lecture somewhere, 2 weeks before he enters the airplane, he is so afraid to enter the airplane that he does miserably at his job. He cannot inspire people. He has to go 3 times a day into the bathroom and pass. Fear shrinks the consciousness. Love opens the consciousness. The same is with attachment. When a person only thinks about money, 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 at that moment he is no longer free to think of anything else. When he meets you, he looks at your wristwatch to find out how expensive the wristwatch was. His conversation with you will not be very meaningful. He is highly limited. So, my dear listeners, our atmosphere emanates, I will make it now a little bit more clearer, like circles around us. If we can have love and detachment, we will have a very good and strong position in this world. When we are, however, bound by fear and attachments, we become highly unfree and highly bound. Do you know what is a concentration camp? I will tell you now something about the unglorious past of Germany. When the Germans were ruling, they had a very bad feeling about all kinds of non-Germans. And they put all these non-Germans, foreigners, and they especially disliked the Jewish community. They would have disliked Indians also, if Indians would be around at that time in Germany. And they put them into a concentration camp. This had nothing to do with concentration. They concentrated all the foreigners at one place, made them work, and then tortured them to death when they were no longer useful. Now, there was one man from Poland who was put into such a concentration camp, and he knew he had only a few more weeks to live, but he was not afraid. He understood death will come when it will come. He was not attached any longer to living a certain amount of years. He said, I will somehow study how to escape. His mind remained free. It was not bound by fear and giving up. So he studied, and one day he found the solution. He saw a truck which was filled with the dead bodies, the naked dead bodies, which came out of the ovens, the gas ovens, where people were put, and then there was gas put into the ovens, and they would die. So he saw how naked bodies were carried out of this, gas chambers, and put on a truck, and then driven out of the concentration camp into this mass grave, where they were all given, put into the grave, and earth was put above them. And he thought, this is the idea. When no one looked, he took away all his clothes, and he mixed amongst the dead bodies, Hare Krishna. And then he had to wait one day, and bodies were piled on top of him. Then the truck started, it drove away, and then all the bodies were coming down from the truck to the mass grave, and he was amongst them and waited until the German fools were gone, and then he escaped. Hare Krishna. This is a story from Germany. Don't be afraid of me, please. I have different ideas of life than the Germans of the past. He had carried with him the spirit of fearlessness, and also the spirit which helped him to come free from this. Never allow yourself to be overcome by fear and attachment, whatever the situation is, and you will be able to slowly awaken your spiritual potential. You will learn how to fly. Now, I want to go with you through a little exercise. I want to tell you the five levels of consciousness which you have to go through if you want to rise to your spiritual potential. The first level on which a person is called Anamaya. To translate it in very simple English, it's a certain understanding which makes a person identify with his body. Anamaya. As we go through the levels of this consciousness, you can all determine where you are at the present moment. Then you know what next level you have to go to. Anamaya. Ana means food. The baby is not interested in anything else than eating. Or for that matter, drinking. It's the same for the baby. The baby couldn't care less which political party is ruling India. Is it the BJP or is it I'm not so much informed, and maybe I say the wrong thing and then someone gets angry at me. Is it another party and so on? The baby only wants to know, where is the breast of my mother? Where is food? This is the only thought of the baby. Even if the Hare Krishna should rule India, the baby is totally disinterested in this. He only thinks, where is food? Because his level of understanding is, I am because I eat. I must eat in order to eat, to be. I had an auntie. Whenever the auntie had problems in her life, she went in the evening to the refrigerator and plundered the refrigerator, because somehow she thought, if I eat, my problems go away. I am because I eat. Who of you likes to be cool and smoke hot cigarettes? Now, after this introduction, no one will will go like this. When I asked this in Germany, I asked it a little bit tactfully. Who of you is a lover of cigarettes? And usually a good amount of arms raise. And I said, psychologists have determined that the greatest need for the cigarette smoker is to feel some security. When he feels the cigarette in his mouth, he remembers his anamaya level of consciousness. I am because I eat. The breast of my mother is right with me. And so on. Then you have someone who smokes, tell him this, and you can be rest assured, he will not come again into your house smoking. He does not want to hear this philosophy again. So I am because I eat. Anamaya is a level of consciousness which is really the beginning, and as I wanted to show, it's not only there at the beginning of life. It goes through life. We in Germany have people who work the whole day, and their highest pleasure is to go after a day's work in what they call eine Gastwirtschaft, that means a pub. Pub, we say like this? A pub, where they will eat and drink and talk with their friends and come late home. And even if their wife threatens to kill them if they do this again and stay away with their friends in the pub and drink and eat, they cannot give this up, because that's their level of consciousness. Are we not sometimes on this level of consciousness? See, these consciousness levels, we go through them like we go through our university or classrooms. Sometimes we are in this room, sometimes we are in that room, but mostly we are predominantly on one level. Like, I think sometimes we are so hungry, we just say, I really don't care about anything any longer. Just give me my chapatis. At that moment we are on anamaya. So now we go one step higher. Are you prepared? The second level is pranamaya. I am because I act. If you ask a person who is on this level, who are you? he will say an actor or an athlete, a sportsman, or what else? A race driver or a student or a musician or a failure. But this is not who you are. This is what you do in life. You make music, you run on the racetrack, you make politics, and so on. People, however, on the second level of consciousness are really identifying with their activities. And if you and their understanding of what they are is what they do in life. I am because I act. Clear? We will raise now to the third level of consciousness. That's so interesting with this thing. This level is called Jnana Maya. Jnana means knowledge. Jnana Maya, here you think, I am because I think. People on this level identify with their thinking, sometimes with their political party, I'm a BJP man, or sometimes even with their religions, I'm a Jain or a Muslim, and so on, I'm a Hindu, but also sometimes with their with convictions like I am a Marxist. This was very strong in Bengal and East Germany. René Descartes, that's the great member of the great philosopher in medieval Europe, he said cogito ergo sum. Cogito means I think, ergo means ergo, how do you say ergo? I think. That's why, and sum means I am. I think that's why I am. Or phrased differently, I am because I think. People identify with these three levels of consciousness, which act like prisons to their potential. Now on the fourth level of consciousness, we tend to free ourselves from the identification with our body, which eats and acts, and we also tend to identify with our, we tend to break our identification, I'm sorry, with our subtle body or our mind, which tends to not eat and act, but to identify with something, to think, to do all the thinking. On the fourth level, I really want to find out who I am. People on this level meditate a little, and our curtain is just closing so that I can do with you a meditation. I wouldn't do it before the deities, but Shishirada Gopinata ki jai. I would like to make a guided meditation with you for a moment. When I give this sign to you, it means we will start the exercise, and when you hear this, it means it's the end of the exercise. I want to show you a little bit how by a simple meditative process, which we will do in a moment, you can go away from the three first levels of consciousness. Please, can you put the Vijnana Maya away for a moment? Yes. This Anamaya, Pranamaya, and Jnanamaya. Anamaya and Pranamaya is your bodily existence, means your physical bodily existence, and Jnanamaya is your thinking processes. Now I want to make this simple exercise with you, which I have done with many people in the West on my seminars. I will do it the first time with you. Now, are you very tired? Not very tired. You had a long day? Some of you had a long day. Most of the time when I do this with the Hare Krishna devotees, they fall asleep because they have risen at 4 o'clock in the morning. So whenever I see a devotee falling asleep, I will say something which makes you laugh. Don't fall asleep. So please, for a moment, sit straight. As you feel, just make yourself as comfortable as it is on a hard temple floor. Close your eyes for a moment and slowly start to breathe consciously. Breathe in and breathe out, but deeply, and become very aware of your breathing. Please breathe into the stomach area, and when you exhale, breathe everything, all the air out, and with it your tensions of the day. Only think of breathing. You have been very active throughout the day. Some of you have gone to schools. Some of you have been successes, others have been failures. Don't worry. All this is now past. You will just breathe now. In and out. Don't think even of your neighbor. Don't think of the loud noises of the fans. Don't think of the loud breathing of your neighbor. And breathe. But now breathe a little bit more naturally. Not forced any longer. Let the breathing come in and out like the waves which come on the ocean side. And focus your consciousness on the breathing. And only the breathing. Now move your mind to the place where the air for the first time touches your body. It will be somewhere at the nose, because we breathe in and out through the nose only, not through the mouth. Become a scientist. Find out where does the life-giving air, which you need so much to exist, come in contact with your body first. It's in the nostrils. What is the feeling? Some of you stop to breathe. No, the idea is you have to continue to breathe. Is it inside the nostrils? Do you feel a little cold? at this place, or a little itchy? Or is it a sharp feeling or dumb feeling? How do you feel where the life-giving air is touching for the first time your nostrils? No need to answer this, you have to find it out for yourself. Keep the answer. It's not an important answer, but it's a practice to concentrate the mind. Now, keep on breathing. Even if it becomes a little intense, never stop breathing. We want to continue this workshop to the happy end. Now, please do one thing. Go into the area of your heart with your mind. Thank you. While breathing in and out, for a moment leave the body, just in your mind. Look from above. Try to visualize yourself sitting on the floor. See your hair, your shoulders, your legs. See the other people, and again visualize yourself. What type of shirt do you wear? Is it blue, red? Does it have stripes or caros? Okay. Thank you. Now move back. Heart is. In the area of the heart, see what the Vedic scriptures describe as the Atman, the self. It's full of light. It is part of God. According to the Vedas, it is you. Yes, you are the particle which is full of spiritual light. Understand that God is eternal. Your Atman is also eternal. Understand that God is full of chit or knowledge. You are also full of knowledge. And the best, understand that God is full of Ananda, or divine spiritual bliss or happiness. And you are also full of bliss and divine happiness. Not that you are God, not that the Atman is God, it's a part and parcel of God. From this understanding, look with a distance in your life. You may be a student, you may be a sports person, a cricket person, but these are just roles, roles which you play, the eternal soul. Concentrate on your being part of God, please. And throughout the day, sometimes when you feel restless, when you feel fearful, when you feel attached, you can go back to this understanding that I am an Ansa, a part of the Supreme Lord, full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity. Breathe in deep and breathe out deep, please. Very good. A few times. And when you're ready, please open your eyes again. When you are ready, please open your eyes. Hare Krishna. Some of you look very much more peaceful. This was a very simple traditional exercise.
Krishna Chaitanya?
Oh, yes, which is, they are much more complicated exercise on the fourth level, where a person wants to find out who he is beyond this role of Anamaya, Pranamaya, and Jnanamaya. He wants to be the pure self. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna goes in several verses to explain that we are part of Him. Mamaivangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. The jiva bhutas means that jiva who is in a body is really my angsa, my part and parcel. Yes. And in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he describes how this being is eternal. That means even if the body dies, the soul or atma will not die. He says to Arjuna, look at all these kings and soldiers. Never was there a time when they were not there. They exist now in the present, and they will also continue to exist in the future. And Krishna doesn't, when he says future, he doesn't have just 2 weeks in mind, or 2 years, or even 20 years. He thinks, when he speaks of the future, the cosmic future of 200 years, 2,000 years, 200,000 years. They will always be there. So on this fourth level, a person wants to understand himself not as the body and the mind, but as the soul within, who gives life to the body and the mind. We have a fifth level of consciousness, and we will show it. It's the level which we call Anandamaya. It is a level which, where you feel full of bliss because you understand I'm a part of God. This gives you so much happiness. This gives you so much energy because you are at the properly connected. I want to tell you something which helped me very much in my life. I remember I was once going through Berlin, I believe. It's a town in the West. And I saw a little silver piece lying on the street. And I was thinking, what is this silver piece? I don't know what it is, but I had some vague idea. It was a useless little piece. It just looked, I didn't know what it looked like. So I went to inside an opera house, opera of, yes, Philharmonica it's called, where musicians are. And I said, I'm sorry, I followed just an intuition. I'm sorry, I found this very useless piece before the house, and I was wondering what it is, and maybe someone of you needs it. At this moment, a trumpet player came to me, embraced me with tears in his eyes and said, thank you, you have found the mouthpiece of my trumpet. And he took this little useless piece of metal, fixed it on his trumpet. Do you know what is a trumpet? Of course we know. And then he went like, This is my thank you for you, he said. And then he started to play beautiful melodies with the trumpet. And I don't know why this happened to me, but I understood. Anything which is which we don't know what it is, if we connect it with it with a thing of which it is a part, becomes useful. Even such a metal thing becomes useful. And he trumpets, or some of you have a glass.
For a moment, you will get it back.
See, if you would find on the street this little plastic thing which helps the glass to sit comfortably on your nose, you would not pay any attention to this. But the person who has lost it, for him this means the success of the day, because if it's not there, the metal will terrorize his nose the whole day. So this is an example how anything, when it's connected with its substance, becomes useful again. Thank you very, very much. So in the same way, if you become connected again with God, then your happiness starts. Hare Krishna. So Vedic personality development means you slowly rise through the different levels of consciousness until you finally come to the highest Anandamaya, a state of bliss, where you are connected with the Lord again in love. Hare Krishna. Then your potential comes out, just like this little insignificant piece of plastic when it's fixed at your wonderful glasses, becomes useful, or little silver metal piece becomes the part of a trumpet. You also, when you become part of Krishna, when you have found your place in Krishna's mission, you will become happy. Now we are all dislocated parts of God, like the trumpet mouthpiece or the little plastic thing of the glass. Find your place in the Brahman plan, in the spiritual plan of the Supreme, and then your full potential will raise. Now, how can a person come from these lower states of consciousness to the highest state of consciousness? How can you make this journey successful? How can you rise? Well, like any journey which requires some energetic principle, your spiritual journey, which helps you to rise to the higher levels of consciousness, also requires an energetic principle. When you make a journey with a car, the energetic principle is combustion. Somehow the benzene gets burned with fire, and this creates a certain pressure in the cylinders, and then the whole thing runs. I'm not an expert car engineer, by the way, so you have to think with my example and find exactly the principle which runs. In the same way, if we want to raise from the material level of consciousness to the higher consciousness, we need an energetic principle. For instance, the eagle, to raise from the chick-chuck level the chicken level, to the free flowing eagle needed some energetic principle. In his case, he looked at the sun and he had his genetic remembrance and somehow managed to get up there by this looking into the sun. So in the same way, you need some spiritual potency. In Germany, when I give lectures, I say to the German mind, we need gas stations, power stations, not for benzene to drive our cars, but we need spiritual potency to drive our lives.